Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you so much for making this possible. Thank you for pouring out your Spirit upon us today and enabling us to be in your will in all things. And we ask, Lord, that you give us understanding today and encouragement today to go through the trials that we need to go through. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, we're going to call this Overcoming Through the Fiery Trials. And we're going to start with a revelation given to Samuel Fire, 12:8-22. We called it Running the Race with Diligence. And the advantages are out of this world. And Samuel said, I had a vision of a nice sunny day. The weather was perfect. And I believe this represents when everything is going well in our lives. And he says, I saw a man driving a race car around a racetrack. And I believe that this man probably represents every believer who is running their own race. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, let us also, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Yes, amen. Well, he completed his laps with the help of his racing team. Well, the driving team, racing team, represents fellowship with our brethren who are in Christ. There's no one man, really. It's a body of people. And they, of course, all help us to complete our daily driving course, right? Amen. He was driving very well and fast. He didn't crash, and he made no error. He was very happy and pleased with his accomplishments. After he completed his daily racing, he thought about the day, and then he spoke with his racing team and friends about how it all went and what needs to be maintained on the car. And I guess this represents how we fellowship with other brethren in the body of Christ. And, you know, each member of the body contributes to the body, right? And we all have different roles, but we all help each other out. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 14:26, he gives, what is it then, brethren, when you come together, each hath a psalm, hath a teaching, hath a revelation, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation, let all things be unto edifying. And he says, maintaining the car is representing feeding our spiritual man with the word and prayer and fellowship in Jesus every day, abiding in Christ. Yep, I agree. And he gives John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Yea, and the bread which I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. And, of course, he also told us to take up our cross and follow him, or we couldn't be his disciples. So he is our example, not only our sacrifice, but our example, right? And John 6:63, it's the Spirit that maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. I think Samuel uses the numeric New Testament when he's in the New Testament, so you might find a few words slightly different, but it's a very good translation. The next day, the weather was rainy, probably representing trials and tribulations, he says. It made it very difficult for the man racing on the track, and he almost crashed. He had many struggles, and he was very frustrated as nothing was going smooth like the day before. There were many trials for him. Well, we're like that too. Everything's going smooth. We're okay, you know, and then suddenly, trials, tribulations, and so on, you know. And we have to be ready for that, you know. Matthew 6:34, be not therefore anxious for the morrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Yes, I agree. He was so upset after driving that he didn't think about everything or properly discuss with his racing team what had happened. He chose to wallow in the flesh, Samuel says, rather than rest in Christ and seek prayer and help from the brethren. All he wanted to do was to go home and rest, in other words, in the flesh, so he didn't maintain the car at all. Well, when we give in to discouragement and frustration, we are feeding our flesh and sabotaging our individual race, right? We're not overcoming in the trial, in the race. Romans 13:14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, which means put on his works, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The next day the weather was much better, however the car was not performing well. He regretted having not maintained the car the day before and didn't achieve good results. He hadn't filled up in prayer and the word, so it was more difficult. Amen. The man was upset and filled with guilt, shame, and self-condemnation for not discussing with his racing team and for not maintaining the car the previous day. Although I be righteous, mine own mouth shall condemn me, and though I be perfect, it shall prove me perverse. That's Job 9:20 that he gave. Okay. And after this race, he spoke about it with his racing team at length, and they did proper maintenance with the car, representing repentance and getting back on track, so to speak. And he gives 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. That's part of keeping up the car there, right there, you know. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. So we need to start out by seeking his kingdom. And the following day, he went to the track to race, and there were many other drivers also racing on the track. There was a big crowd of people watching him and many other distractions. And he says this represents trials in various forms to test and to refine our walk in Christ. Yep, amen. We must maintain vigilance and focus on him. Amen. Seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Amen. And he gives 1 Corinthians 7:35. And this I say, for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for what is seemly and assiduous toward the Lord without distraction. Amen. And Mark 4:19, and the cares of the age and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Having our mind distracted by these things rather than seeking first the kingdom is not beneficial. 1 Corinthians 10:13, he gave, only human temptation hath overtaken you, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make also the way out, that you may be able to endure it. Each day has its own trials, he says, and it is all to perfect us into Christ. Amen. We should see everything as trials, as tests. It's more helpful that way. instead of looking at the problem, you know, but just see it as another test that we have an opportunity to overcome and get more of Christ, right? Amen. Because when you don't, you get less of Christ. Okay, Philippians 3 and 12, not that I have already received or am already made perfect, but I follow on, if so be that I may apprehend that for which also I was apprehended by Christ Jesus. That's right. So that he apprehended us to bring us into that maturity, that perfection, right? And 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27 came to me. Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? And we know that that is Christ in you, right? That's how the prize is won. Even so run that you may attain. And every man that striveth in the games exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, as not uncertainly, so fight I, as not beating the air, but I buffet my body, and I bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. And obviously, if Paul could be rejected, we could too, right? So it's important to keep your body under submission to your spirit man, under submission to the Lord. Amen? And so here too is Samuel fire, 12:9-22, called it tried by fire. I sought the Lord because I was curious if hell fire, or torment, is holy fire, or the Lord's refining process. And I heard the Lord say, yes, anything that cannot or totally refuses to be connected with me is to be tormented. The torment and hell are the weeping and gnashing of teeth where the fire does not cease from burning. Meaning we go through a little bit of hell here on earth, you know, and it is to burn up the wood, hay, and the stubble, as we know. And we'll get to that point too. So the end for everything is either completely destroyed or removed into this judgment, or remains cleansed and refined with me, said the Lord. I am an all-consuming fire. Yes, he is. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15 is given. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But if any man buildeth on the foundation gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, and stubble, each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire. And the fire itself shall prove each man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work shall abide, which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, because it was wood, hay, and stubble, obviously, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. Well, when you go through fire, what's left? You know, hopefully Christ in you, right? 2 Peter 3:7, but the present heavens and the earth by the same word have been stored up for fire, being reserved against a day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly men. Amen. Hebrews 12:29 says, for our God indeed is a consuming fire. Leviticus 20:26, and you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have set you apart from the peoples, that you should be mine. Amen. So that which is remaining will experience judgment of hell, the process of refinement of my holiness. As nothing can live without me, there is nothing for the evil to live with, but only the Holy Spirit, which burns until eternity. He guides, his note here is, he guides and convicts us, and the fire consumes all that is evil. In other words, all that is not of him. The Lord is replicating Jesus in us. Amen. Acts 17:24-25 says, "The God that made the world and all things therein, he being Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is he served by men's hands, as if he needed anything. He himself giving to all life and breath and all things." Amen. And Matthew 3:11-12, he gives, "I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance, but who cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not fit to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire." Have you received the Holy Spirit? It's very hard to go through the fire without the Holy Spirit, let me tell you. And if you did receive the Holy Spirit, you received it according to the book of Acts. You need to go there and find out if you really have the Holy Spirit. Many people have been told that and they're lied to, you know. "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor and gather his grain into the garner. But the chaff he will burn up with unquenchable fire." The chaff is the old man, the outer man, right? Yes. And John 16:8, "And he, coming, will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." 2 Thessalonians 2:8, "Then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the spirit of his mouth and bring to naught by the manifestation of his presence." So therefore, the only thing left is Jesus, right? And the old man, the lawless one. Yes, we know what people think the lawless one is. But let me say that everybody has a lawless one. It's the flesh. It's an enemy of God, right? It's an enmity with God. So it has to die. Jesus said, if you don't lose your life, that's your fleshly life, you won't gain your life. Amen. Job 4:9, "By the breath of God they perish, and by the blast of his anger are they consumed." Well, Job was a righteous man, but was not yet manifesting perfection. So he went through the fiery trials. And, of course, he had the factious coming against him to crucify him until he was made like gold. Amen? Amen. So, I mean, we get off easy. If you just look at Job, you say, oh, God, thank you. "I then remembered Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were not harmed, as their faith was in the Lord God. Only their bonds were burned up, as well as the enemy who threw them in, and Nebuchadnezzar's command to serve idols were all eliminated." Yes. Praise the Lord. They were good witnesses. Daniel 3:22-28. "Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste. He spake and said to his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king." Yeah, you better say that. He'll have you in the fire next. "Yeah, true, O king." And he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. and they have no hurt. And the aspect of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. He spake and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. Ooh, he's changed his tune here, hasn't he? Come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. Well, they went through the fire. And what was the result of that? Well, we'll just read on and see. It says, and the satraps and the deputies and the governors and the king's counselors being gathered together, you bet, they wanted to see what's different about these guys, you know. Saw these men that the fire had no power upon their bodies, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither were their hosen changed, nor had the smell of fire passed on them. So, that's pretty cool. They got a wonderful witness there, and everybody wanted to know their God, including Nebuchadnezzar. And I say, get rid of your flesh so it won't have to burn later, right? This is the time to do it. When God's putting you through the trials, don't ignore this. Don't go around the mountain again. You might get late, right? 28. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and have yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Yes, amen. And Samuel says, Our father is the silversmith. Proverbs 17:3. The refining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold. But the Lord trieth the hearts. Yes, he does. Consider everything a trial, and that you are to overcome. Amen. Isaiah 1:25, he says, And I will turn my hand upon thee, and thoroughly purge away thy dross, and will take away all thy tin. Proverbs 25:4, Take away the dross from the silver, and there cometh forth a vessel for the refiner. Some people want to know if they want to be a vessel for the refiner, but they don't want to go through the fire. But he tells us here, we have to go through the fire. Malachi 3:2-3, But who can abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, and refine them as gold and silver. And they shall offer unto the Lord offerings in righteousness. Okay, those were his ministers, right? The sons of Levi. And he said that it's not Bible school that gives you the right to go and minister unto him in the sanctuary. It is being that gold and silver. Yes. He that overcometh will I give authority. Some people don't believe that, especially Bible school people, are not taught that. It has nothing to do with the certificate of you being right with the people who own the Bible school. It has to do with you being right with the Lord by going through the fire and overcoming. Well, Samuel goes on to say, We are to be wise and be purified. Daniel 12:10 says, Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but they that are wise shall understand. It's true, they never grow up. The wicked don't grow up. They just don't. Zechariah 13:9, And I will bring the third part into the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Zephaniah 2:2-3. Before the decree come forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Okay, so what he's saying is something you need to be doing now, right? Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, that have kept his ordinances. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be that you will be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So, he goes on to say, an attachment to evil is clinging to the very thing the Lord wants to burn off and remove. It hurts those who won't let go of evil, and the refining process of fire continues until only what remains is holy and pure. With the completion in the sanctification of washing with the water of the Word, all are then solidified, hardened, and unchangeable by their faith in Him. Amen. And he gives some verses. Romans 12:9. Let the love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cleave to what is good. Ephesians 5:10-11. Proving what is well-pleasing to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. Fellowship is, of course, giving and receiving. You don't want to receive anything from them. Evil companionships corrupt good morals, the Bible says, so stay away from them. Amen. Numbers 31:22-24. Howbeit, the gold and the silver, the brass, the iron, the tin, and the lead, everything that may abide the fire, you shall make to go through the fire. And it shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the water for impurity. There it is, the word. And, of course, all these things need to be not alloys of many mixtures, you know, like the mixed multitude who went into the wilderness, you know, but they need to be pure. And all that abideth not the fire you shall make to go through the water. And you shall wash your clothes on the seventh day, and you shall be clean. And afterwards you shall come into the camp. Okay, washing your clothes means washing your works. Your garments are your works. We are to hate the garment that's spotted by the flesh. There's black spots on a white garment, right? When it's talking about evil works. 1 Peter 1:7. That the proving of your faith, more precious than gold, that perisheth though it is proved by fire, be found unto praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, of course, the revelation or the manifestation of Jesus Christ is what we're going through the fire to be, right? There's no one that has ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. Do you understand? Jesus is the one going to heaven. That's right. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the only hope of glory, right? Revelation 3:18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white garments, that thou be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness be not manifested. And eye salve to anoint thine eyes that thou see. Yes. Buy. That means you give your life to gain your life. He's not talking about, you know, giving money, you know, like some people thought, you know. 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22. But prove all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Psalm 97:10. O ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Amen. Seeking and allowing the Lord to do His good will through us for His pleasure is the goal. Amen. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says, "So that, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much rather in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." And he says the demons tremble at His presence, knowing that their just and righteous judgment is pending. And James 2 and 19 says, "Thou believest that God is one, thou doest well. The demons also believe and shudder." Nothing can withstand the fires of God, he says. Nahum 1 and 6. "Who can stand before His indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of His anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken asunder by Him." Amen. So God is almighty and all-powerful. He's omnipresent, He's omnipotent, and He's omniscience. Nothing can compare. He is sovereign over all. His name is above every name. His word is above all. More verses. Psalm 115 and 3. "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He pleased." Isaiah 55:11. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." So be sure you are letting the word of God come out of your mouth, because it will accomplish what God wants, right? Jeremiah 32 and 17. "Ah, Lord, behold, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power and by Thine outstretched arm. There's nothing too hard for Thee." Proverbs 16 and 33. "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." So that just lets you know it's just not your works, you know. It's your faith that causes you to be in God's works, right? Philippians 2 and 9. "Wherefore also God highly exalted Him and endowed Him with the name above every name." Psalm 138 and 2. "I will worship towards Thy holy temple and give thanks unto Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. For Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name." So God's putting His word first. He wants us to know He stands behind that word. Something that is burned as hot as possible emits light. And we are to be the light of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Matthew 5 and 16. "Thus let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in the heavens." Proverbs 4 and 18. "But the path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Philippians 2 and 15, "That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are seen as luminaries in the world," as lights, right? And he says exposure to the fire and light brings the perfect power of God. Yep. And it causes the darkness to flee away if we cooperate with His Spirit, right? John 3, 19 through 21. "And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light." Well, just If you don't believe that, you make a commitment that you're going to read the Word of God, and everything else gets more important. Have you ever noticed that? For their works were evil. For everyone that practiced evil things hateth the light and cometh not unto the light, that his works may be not reproved. But who doeth the truth cometh unto the light, that his works be manifested, that they have been wrought in God. Yes, amen. So, his fire either comforts with warmth or burns to ashes. Fire is of the Lord to bring us to righteous power or judgment, right? Luke 12:49. A fire came I to cast upon the earth, and what do I desire if it is already kindled? Yes, he wants to sanctify his people. And the evil people around you, they're part of that fire. So cooperate, right? The burning bush in Exodus did not get consumed, nor did it harm Moses. Very true. Exodus 3:2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Amen. The fire will only consume the wood, hay, and the stubble, right? I felt that the Lord has revealed this to me, how I can understand it. These are the very things God does not want in his kingdom. Pride, arrogance, religious spirits, and so on. These were and are in myself. But we are to see ourselves sanctified and perfected in Christ already, seated in heavenly places. Yep, that's the truth. And Galatians 5:16-17 says, But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall in no wise fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary one to another, that you may not do what things you would. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. So therefore you must glorify God in your body, right? Amen. We all are going through this process, whether we are about to enter or are already entered or have had most of it cleansed. It is in this time, and that's the time of the fiery trial, that we can see and understand. We have to have the faith to see the end in view and also to look back at what the Lord has already done, because whatever he's already done in you, he can continue. You can see the miracle he did in the past. You can look forward and say, well, I have it there too, you know. And Tiana Fire got this. We called it, I am with you always. 11:18-22. I dreamt that I was hanging out with Jesus in the physical. He was so wonderful, sweet, and gentle. Better than any words I could describe. He looked like a normal man. However, he was bright and wearing a glowing white garment. Extreme joy, peace, love, and so many other brilliant feelings that I can't describe were radiating from him. I felt complete, absolute freedom, and the ability to praise him in full. I felt more joy than I have ever felt before. It was pure and holy, and I felt so much love for him and every other soul. I wanted to share him with everyone. I felt no evil feelings or thoughts that the enemy tries to trick us with in the flesh. It was all gone, and there was complete freedom, as if the Holy Spirit was manifesting through my flesh. I wanted everyone else to be with him also, and everyone to have his love, his joy, and peace. I was so excited for others to hang out with him too. So we went around together, knocking on doors in the neighborhood. I was proclaiming his magnificence to the people and inviting them to hang out with us. I would talk about how wonderful he is, even though he was standing right there next to me. I wanted each of the people we spoke to be with him. No one else could see him, but I was speaking as if they could see him. I wanted to share him with everyone. I wanted everyone to have his joy, his peace, love, and grace. And I told them that he is the best and nothing can compare to him. Revelation 3 and 20, she gives. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To my disappointment for them, most of the people shut their door in our face. Others would hear and listen to what I said about Jesus and his word, but didn't want to hang out with him. There wasn't anyone in that neighborhood that wanted to hang out with Jesus and to partake in his joy and his peace and his love. I could not understand why they didn't want to, and I grieved for them. Ezekiel 12 and 2. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of the rebellious house, that have eyes to see and see not, and that have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Jesus led me over to a park with a playground that was in the center of the neighborhood that we were in. He started swinging me on the grass, around in circles, and we danced together in union. He was very playful and loving, and I trusted him. And I knew that he would let me go. He wouldn't let me go or let me fall. I was so happy and excited, like a young child, and I wanted others to share this joy. I couldn't understand why others didn't want to dance with Jesus and be with him. Jesus had come to spend a short time with me and then had to go back to our Father. I felt that he had things he wanted me to do here and that I was to go to other towns speaking about him to those who would hear. Well, I believe this describes our initial salvation experience once we are stronger in our faith. He tends to withdraw as we learn to walk by faith more and more in our assurance of our salvation. And we are, after all, saved by faith and not by how we feel or human experience, right? Amen. So I was back alone on earth, but I was so filled with joy and praise for our Father and King. I arrived at this city, and I was on a hill looking from above and could see everything. It was in the middle of the day, however, everything was dark, and there was no sun. Everything was black, and it felt as if a blanket was covering this world. Well, this does describe the curse of sin and death that covers the earth and those who are earthly. I felt so much joy and started singing. And this is the song that she received in the spirit. It was awesome. I've longed to see again the moving of his spirit, to know the glory that our Father talked about. These surely are the days of restoration, but our Lord has only just begun. He's just begun to move again in our generation. Although he's done so much, he still will do much more. So let your eyes take hold of a new vision, for our Lord has only just begun. The lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the blind to see. The voice of God is found through all the earth. These are the days of glorious resurrection, but our Lord has only just begun. The glory of the Lord shall surely fill the earth. He said, just like the waters cover all the sea. Revival comes. We live in expectation. But our Lord has only just begun. From east and west and north and south the people gather, and only unto him the gathering shall be. These are the days of mighty preparation, but our Lord has only just begun. As I was singing and dancing to the Lord, I was being lifted higher and higher into the air, kind of like flying or floating above. I was maybe 1 mile up, and this probably represents being seated in heavenly places in Christ, right? I could see so many people below me. I just kept singing and praising the Lord, and I was moving forward, walking in the air across the city, proclaiming him to everyone. I remember thinking, this song is so awesome, I need to share it with the brethren. Yes, amen. And when I was back on the ground, I was in the center part of the city, and there started to be a severe wind. And everything started shaking and moving like a sudden hurricane and earthquake and more. These are the things that drive lost people to the Lord, this need, right? I grabbed onto something and watched everything around me blowing away. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that the things that cannot be shaken will remain, right? Items were blowing everywhere, and the walls were breaking and being thrown around, and things were flying all around the air. Everything around me moved, but I did not move. I felt peace and calm. Well, Jesus is the rock that we are anchored on in the storms of life and in the judgments of God. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, as therefore you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and builded up in him, and established in your faith, even as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Yep. Give thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? There's power in thanks and praise. And suddenly I looked up at the dark sky and I saw a little circular hole in the sky and a light peeked through. It wasn't like the sun, but it was like a man-made light. It felt like a fake light pretending to be the sun. Well, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. This represents false light and false truth. Here again, we see the great deception that God will allow to deceive those who don't love the truth. I saw something fly from the light through the sky and then down to me. I believe this is probably talking about the alien invasion lies. Watch, the world is going to swallow this. Okay. She said, this represents demonic principalities and powers in the heavenlies. It came around me, and these creatures got out of the UFO, and they were very dark. I couldn't see them clearly because they were hiding in the shadows. They were acting like they were aliens, and they wanted to experiment on me. They were trying to convince me that they were aliens and from another planet, and they are taking over the world. Well, this has been the deep state plan for a long time. This will cause many lukewarm Christians to fall away because they are not rooted and grounded in the Word. which is Christ. I felt a hard prod or poke from them in my left rib area. I started having thoughts of fear and doubts about Jesus, but I rejected those thoughts, and I said, aliens are just demons, and we have all authority over them, and Jesus is the truth. I then spoke, the blood of Jesus. And when I awoke, I still felt the feeling of having been prodded in my left rib area, but it quickly faded. Praise the Lord. Resist this deception, delusion that's coming all over the world. Even people that consider themselves Christians are being deceived by this stuff. So this is Vanessa Weeks' revelation on 2/28/23, and she called it, Jesus will be with us through the water. While I was laying down and praying, I had a vision. I saw Jesus standing at the water's edge of a sea or ocean. I was standing to his right and a little behind him. We were standing in the clear water, and there were small ripples coming over our feet. Then Jesus took my hand with his right hand, and we started to walk further into the water. Later that night, the Lord was speaking to me, John 5 and 19. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father doing. For what things soever he doeth, these the Son also doeth in like manner. So we're following in the steps of our Lord and Savior, right? When I told my husband this vision, he said it reminded him of Isaiah 43:2, in context 1-4. Isaiah 43:1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I have given Egypt as thy ransom. In other words, a price to be paid for your freedom, right? Ethiopia and Seba in thy stead. So they took the punishment that we could have had, right? Since thou hast been precious in my sight and honorable, and I have loved thee, therefore will I give men in thy stead and peoples instead of thy life. Yes, you can look around you and see many are being taken. While hearing Man-Child Ministry imparted to the bride, I heard David read Psalm 85:13. Righteousness shall go before him and shall make his footsteps a way to walk in. Yes, we are here to walk in the steps of Jesus, contrary to religion, who don't believe we can walk in the steps of Jesus. We've been ordained. Let everyone that says they abide in him walk as he walked. That's the Lord saying that. We don't care what theologians say, and especially those who are settled on the fact that they can't overcome, and they don't have to. They're forgiven, right? So, Vanessa shares this prayer. Thank you, Father, that Jesus will hold our hand and be with us during all we go through. As you bring your judgments on the earth also, cause us to clearly see your footsteps, so we will walk in them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I say amen too. And I believe the Lord is leading us to study him as a disciple would. Remember, Jesus spoke of disciples. He didn't speak of Christians because that now has become so polluted. Disciple is a learner and a follower. They study the master to walk in his steps. And that's what we're here for, is to walk in his steps. The world needs Jesus. The world does not need us. Right? And we lose our life so that we can gain our heavenly life, who is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. So, Father, we thank you so much for this very good word here, Lord, very encouraging word. And we also want to walk with you everywhere and tell everyone about you, Lord. Give us your grace, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you, saints. We'll do this again sometime.